Talk Radio is on. An hour of fun, informative hockey talk with Predators PA announcer Paul McCann. Thanks, Paul. Former NHL player and coach Brent Peterson. And third man in Zach McCann. This is Slapshot Radio on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Yes, one conference final down. The other one, still going. Oh, this is going to be fun. We're going to chat with our good friend and eight-year former co-host of this show is joining us tonight, the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Plus, we're going to make our predictions on the Stanley Cup Final, no matter which team gets through from the East. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Carter Church with White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson. Brent, have you recovered from yesterday's golf tournament?
Yes, and I wanted to get home to see the game, too. So,
And, of course, they had to go double overtime, right?
Double overtime, yeah.
36 holes yesterday? Did you play out both
no,
ones?
No, I'm hurting right now. I'm on injury reserve, so I just had to play a few holes to cover up for Ryan Smith, who had to leave. So.
I see. Okay.
It was good.
Glad to hear. We'll talk a little bit more about the silent auction that's going on now, the benefits, the Predators Foundation, and the Peterson for Parkinson's Foundation. And, of course, from his undisclosed location somewhere in an East Nashville warehouse where he is not allowed to get out until he wears skinny jeans and a black t-shirt. It is the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Zach, hold out. Fight the fight, brother. Fight the fight.
You know I don't live in East Nashville, right? I mean, you know, I'm not there. I try to avoid that place. Really, I'm just frantically driving around searching for a GameStop where I can pre-order the PlayStation 5 since that just got announced.
That's his mission right now. And so we got lots to talk about tonight, and only an hour to fit it in. Pete's going to join us for two segments tonight, in the second and third segment, so please stay tuned for that. But first off, let's talk right off the bat. The golf tournament yesterday managed to do it successfully, managed to do it socially distanced, and, you know, and ordinarily that's not a problem for me because I'm normally just bounding through the woods or on the beach. So that's not a problem for me to socially distance from the rest of the golfers. Pete, how did it go yesterday?
It went well. I'm sorry. I'm so mixed up. It was Monday that the golf tournament was.
Oh, it was Monday. You're right. It was Monday.
It was my fault. And I was running home from I don't know where to watch the game. I was like, no, I watched the game till 1 o'clock and then I went golfing early this morning. So I'm a little bit run down, but no, we had to do a lot of changes just for the, because of the virus, we had to do some distancing, and there was about when the group in the morning was coming off, and the group in the afternoon was coming in to register. There's getting to be a lot of people in that area, so we had to keep moving, and we had guardrails where they had to be certain areas, and they had to go this way, and they had to go. We just made it sure that we had box lunches instead of hot food. And,
oh, darn.
And it's just little things that you have to do, and it's good. It's good that we are getting used to doing them because it might end up being a long time that we have to do this kind of thing. So we hope not, but we're not able to have a dinner this year, which is a fantastic time because of the comedians.
Time, yeah.
But that's 1,000 people on the floor of the arena, and that just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But we're very fortunate to get the golf in and raise a little bit of money, not like we do normally, but we raised enough. And the golfers were fantastic. They did what they were asked to do. And there was no complaining, and it was a five-hour round in the afternoon because we had 28 teams of five.
Wow.
Yossi, the coach, Hines, Dan Lambert was there.
Rocco was there, too.
Rocco was there. Yeah. Brian Poyle, David Poyle, they all supported it. It was great to see the support we got from all those guys. It was terrific.
And you can support this this effort. I know we unable to do the gala this year, unable to do the things that we like to do to be able to raise money for both the foundation and for Peterson for Parkinson's, but there is a silent auction going on. It's going to feel kind of normal because it normally goes on online anyway. You're just not going to be able to browse the tables and that kind of thing. But if you text PREDS, P-R-E-D-S, to 76278, Text that before September 28th. You can take part of the auction and make sure that you support the Peterson Foundation for Parkinson's and the Nashville Predators Foundation. So make sure you text PREDS to 76278 before September 25th. Bid high, bid often. Help out the Peterson Foundation for Parkinson's and the Nashville Predators Foundation.
And if you don't think it's a good auction, you should share that. We got McDavid's jersey. We got a lot of jerseys around the league. Ovechkin's jersey's already gone for $400, and he's already up to that. So
nice.
So there, we have some real good trips and all kinds of things, sticks that players use, all kinds of things. So it's a real good auction again, and Christian Finch does a great job with the auction every year.
So you mentioned it. Let's go here. Big news over the last 48 hours or so. Zach, to me, real solid hiring in the nation's capital. Peter Laviolette continues the Nashville to Washington or Washington to Nashville train. Peter Laviolette is the new head coach of the Washington Capitals. Your thoughts on that, Zach?
You know, friend of the show, Greg Wyszynski, tweeted out shortly after the hire that the Babcock porridge was too hot, the Gallant porridge was too cold, and the Laviolette porridge was just right. And frankly, I think that's a really fair assessment. I love this hiring for the Capitals. This is a team who's claiming that they need to get their veteran leadership under control. For my money, Peter Laviolette's one of the best motivators in the league and is one of the best win-now coaches that you could possibly get on the market. Look at what he's done in his past few stops. Stanley Cup win in Carolina. Stanley Cup final trip for Philadelphia. Stanley Cup final trip for Nashville. I mean, let's be honest. If you're getting Peter Laviolette, it's looking good for you in the first few years.
Well, and it's fun. It is funny because there was a good article. If you want to follow a fun blog, it's called Russian Machine Never Breaks out of D.C. And one comment on the article about Peter Laviolette, just you could tell how much this still gets on Washington's nerves, because the comment basically was, well, if we got Laviolette, you suppose you're going to throw Martin Nygrad in for free? So that just absolutely made me laugh out loud. So I happen to think it's a great hire. And it depends, though. And now the interesting piece, does Kevin McCarthy come with him? I know
usually Kevin does.
Yeah. But Kevin was talking like he was retiring.
Yeah, he is getting up there. He's 63 already.
You know, oh,
he's pretty good shape for 63. So
no kidding. So
you should do that. You should be a coach and a player as long as they let you do it.
Absolutely. So that could be an interesting thing to watch out for, because especially to see how much. I mean, look, if you're going to hire Peter Laviolette, I'm pretty sure he's going to have full control over his assistants.
Oh, I think so.
I'm pretty sure about that. And I mean, the other thing is, Nashville's off the hook for the $2.5 million that they owed him for next season.
Yeah, we need it bad. We need to keep that money.
We need to keep that money in town, no question. But it looks like a $4 million per year deal for Lavi, and that's what he was looking for. It's one of the reasons why a couple of other positions didn't happen. They didn't want to do the money. So,
I'll be honest, if you're seeing the chance to coach the roster of New Jersey versus the roster of Washington, I know where I'm going.
Well, and that's where it's – I agree with you, Zach. And, you know, the interesting piece as well is that there was lots of talk of Laviolette to Seattle.
Mm.
No way. Uh-uh. No. That's not – I mean, look, do I think he would might relish the challenge? Absolutely. Oh, I think he would relish the challenge. But if you look at Peter Laviolette is not a builder. Peter Laviolette is a, let's mold what I got and get the most out of him. And when you look at that, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't think you're going to see a Stanley Cup final run for the Seattle Kraken in year one. I don't think you're going to see it.
Yeah, Vegas was just an aberration, I think.
Caught lightning in a bottle. Can you do it again? I don't know.
And they weren't able to do it this year. Like, this was the year for them to win a cup after having a great
year. We're going to talk more about that. I want to get into that. But, Zach, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this is your control to any experiment right here. You're going to have the same rules that Vegas had. And I'll be honest, do I think they have a Stanley Cup final run in them? I have no idea. Way too early to speculate. But do I think they are going to be a competitive, good team right off the bat? I mean, if the pact is prologue or any indication, you have to think yes, just because these draft rules are favored for the expansion team.
I think they will be better than the Nashville Predators were, than the Atlanta Thrashers were, Minnesota. Than the Columbus Blue Jackets were, than the Minnesota Wild were.
But
absolutely think they're going to be better.
Totally agree.
But look
right here in Nashville, the kind of player they're going to get, a quality caliber player just from here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Lower level one.
But you're going to look at a bottom six player. You're not going to get a top six player out of Nashville. You're just not. You're not, and I mean, look, it all depends as well, because you got to give former general manager George McPhee all kinds of credit, because he did some really good wheeling and dealing before that.
And he got Fleury to start it all off. That's how he got Fleury to start off, because he's
as a free agent. Yep.
And then he got Marius Soto. He got
see, that was, to me, they got. Vegas was lightning in a bottle, and we're going to find that out. Vegas was lightning in a bottle. I mean, because you had Marchessault, who never showed the capability, and quite frankly hasn't done it since, for a 40-goal season previously.
Carlson, too.
Carlson. You had a couple of players that had absolute career years. You had James Neal with a chip on his shoulder last year. You've had players in there that just... You know, I'm sorry, the first year, you had him with a chip on his shoulder. Right. That helped.
He played very well that year.
You know, I just don't see that same thing happening in Seattle. Now, it could. I could be absolutely wrong.
Here's why
I think you're going to see this. Because who was the previous team that Ron Francis was the GM of?
Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah.
And, boy, he built quite a contender in Carolina. I mean, a lot of the job that you're seeing right now that's been done in Carolina is done because of his building right then and there. So this is a more than competent GM who's going to be able to make those kinds of deals. And you talked about not getting a top six player to Nashville. Realistically, they are going to get either Colton Sissons or Cali Yarncroke. Cali Yarncroke spent most of the year due to injury on the first line on this team.
Due to injury. Kelly Yarncroke is I was going to call him a Swiss Army knife, but I don't want to, you know, don't want to insult the man. But he is you could plug him in anywhere for short periods. There's no question about that. But I wouldn't call him a top six player.
No.
I wouldn't call, and I love Colton Sissons to death. Don't get me wrong. You need role players like that. He can't be confused for a top six player. So there's going to be other players that you may have to expose. And quite frankly, there are players that you may want to expose, to dangle out and say, hey, here you go. By the way, it's going to cost you $8 million. But here, try him. You know, I mean, you never know what may happen there. But it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be a great argument to have over the next 18 months or so until we get to the expansion draft. But we are way past time for our first break, and then we're going to bring Pete Weber on. Hey, they've been with us since day one of the show, and right now in his studio, in his home right now, Pete Weber is leaning back. He is ready for the good folks over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Bolin, man with a great staff, a comfortable environment, day one sponsor of this show. The reason why it's on the air is the good folks at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. You can get all your dental needs taken care of, in-office whitening, sedation dentistry, you name it, they've got it. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Don't know much about history. Oh, Max going deep right off the bat. I like it. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game. You know what? You got Don't Know Much. We may not know much, but Brent Peterson, Zach McCann, Paul McCann, we're going to get some help right now because the professor is joining us. And you know, ring the bell. School's in, sucker. Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, right here on Slapshot Radio. Mr. Weber, Professor, how are you today?
I'm doing well, but when I heard that music, I thought I was going to go through the buffet line and was trying to throw down some burgers and Jello and all those things.
Now what am I? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. See if you can guess what I am right now.
You know what? If you give Pete an Animal House opening, he's going to run right through it. There's no question about it. So, Pete, you know, we've been chatting a little bit about the Laviolette hiring in Washington, but I tell you, I want to start off with Game 5 last night with the Islanders and the Bolts. Holy heck. I'm sorry, but Barry Trotz has got to, you know, got to have a lucky rabbit's foot, a horseshoe, and a few other things, because quite honestly, that was a team that had no business winning that hockey game last night.
Particularly with the double minor called at the end of regulation. And that power play that essentially started off with period four, and they got absolutely nothing out of that. So, yes, that was a scary time, I know, on the Islanders' bench, but they weathered that. They weathered through that entire fourth period and then went on and won the game in the fifth, and what a celebration that was. I know Kevin Shattenkirk is probably having some nightmares about his whiff before the two-on-one developed up ice. And it's kind of, it reminded me actually of what do you think about the two-on-one that resulted from that. And all of a sudden, you have Eberle able to finish off a play that maybe he hasn't finished off the entire series, but the important thing was he did it last night.
Yeah, got it where it needed to go. No question about that. Zach, what do you got for the professor here?
Well, first I want to acknowledge that there was only one handsome, young, striking co-host on this show who said the Islanders would push this to six games. But, you know, we'll leave that where it lies.
Brent didn't say that.
Oh, I wasn't talking about that one.
Oh, you said young and handsome. That's why I thought you were
talking
about Brent.
Yeah. But, Petey, you know, Mr. Weber, I guess my question for you is, if the Islanders are going to get this done, what do you think is it going to take? Is it going to be that stranglehold hockey, kind of just grit your teeth and hold on style, if they're going to do this?
Likely. It would have to be, you would think, but boy, scripts really have not held very well this postseason, have they? I mean, look at what we saw all of a sudden, the Dallas Stars being able to score bushel baskets full of goals in their series with Colorado, and we thought Colorado was the preeminent practitioner of that particular art. They overcome them, and then they come on in their next series, and they become the defensive specialists.
Yep.
They shut down the so-called favorites of Sin City to go on in the series that they have done, and now they're just sitting by and waiting and hoping that Barry Trotz's Islanders can prolong things as long as possible. And who knows, maybe tomorrow night play five overtimes and then get to a game seven and play six. I mean, that's what I'm sure they're rooting for in Dallas.
And then it would end up being really a nine-game series. So, I mean, you know.
That's right.
I mean, Pete, it's fascinating to watch. You brought up the Dallas Stars, and the coach and I earlier were talking off air that this Dallas team reminds you of a lot of a certain team from a couple of years ago. Boy, they look a lot like the Preds in 2017.
Yeah, they do, and I really feel, and I think from what I saw them do in their series with Colorado, I think they have taken on that mantle of being a team of destiny. And are they going to be able to take full advantage of it? Well, they're going to have more rest going their way. And in the compressed schedules that we've had in these playoffs, I think that could be a huge advantage.
Yeah, I think you're right, Petey. I think that because of the way the series ended, where they were down 3-1 on Philadelphia, and then they had to go stretch it to seven, and they had to fly all day, and they had a bad start to the series, and they're just getting their feet underneath them now. And in Edmonton, they had to travel from Toronto. I think it's that's going to be a big deal for them.
It's going to be absolutely huge, Brent. And you know what travel is like. You learned that from the very outset of your hockey career, playing in the Western Hockey League, where the term "iron lung" for the bus was made most popular.
Yes,
you've spent some time in the old iron lung, huh?
Yeah, lots.
Brent, tell them about your longest trip in the Western League from Portland.
Well,
what was that like?
We had the same bus, but three different bus drivers that went 1,000 miles each, all the way over to Brandon, Manitoba, up to Flin Flon, back to Winnipeg, and then back home all to Portland, Oregon.
Holy heavens.
That was just one trip.
Yeah.
That's that doesn't sound like fun.
That's why Shea Weber and those guys, those junior kids, I know that the college kids get picked a lot more now, but the junior kids, they really want to pay the price to win.
You're playing the Western League.
You just want to play. Yeah, the Ontario League is all in Ontario, and the Quebec League is all in Quebec, but the Western League holds 4, 5, you know, Washington, Oregon, and all the cities from Alberta to Saskatchewan to BC. So you really, if you got through that, you got through anything.
So it is fascinating to watch this. Peter, though, let's look at this realistically. I mean, I know that our hearts are all with, you know, Coach Trotz. But, I'm not surprised it got extended, and I'm only saying that because Zach's not in the room with me right now. I'm not surprised it got extended, but I'm kind of willing to bet this one ain't going 7.
Well, I mean, the odds are certainly in your favor saying that, but we all know that scripts that we all try to write often end up on the floor with paper all crumpled up and see what happens as a result. And the other, you can actually make an argument, I think, that the Islanders could have been in at least even in the series, if not possibly in front, going into last night, if you break down the preceding games. Sure. So this is not one where, yes, Tampa is very impressive. Don't get me wrong there. But if Braden Point, and I don't know if you saw the postgame last night, but Coach was not able to say that with unequivocally anyway that he would be back in the lineup for Game 6.
Yeah, he's a key guy. If he doesn't come back, then they got a chance.
Chance to run.
This guy is right there with Kucherov as far as the best players on the ice, and he makes things go for them. Even though they played well, they had the better of the game for 3 periods. I thought, and then I thought Islanders picked it up in the overtime with the penalty kill, gave them some life. They still were in their end a lot, but they had some chances at least. But you know, Barzal had a short breakaway from about the top of the circle line in, and he and Vasilevskiy is just a wonderful goalie. That's the reason why I keep saying they're going to win it. They're going to win it all, and I think they're going to win the Stanley Cup too. But just because of him, but you never know, things happen, and Point could get hurt, and Kucherov they beat him up pretty good last night. Kucherov, they were all over him, and they did a good job on him. So anything can happen, and I just think that. Tampa Bay's just too strong overall.
Just think if they had Stamkos.
Imagine if they had Stamkos.
Yeah, Stamkos is on the shelf, and they're still like this. Zach, what are you saying?
We've already seen 3 series that were 3-1 go to Game 7 this just last round alone. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, for me, I think when the Islanders won that game last night, because let's be frank, that was not really a game that I feel like they deserve to win.
Agreed.
When you look at everything that went on. When you have a win like that, you kind of snatch momentum. And you can see the growing confidence in the Islanders as that overtime was going on. Because when they were in the trenches, it wasn't a freewheeling kind of high-passed, high-event game that Tampa thrives on. When you have that stifling trench warfare, which is what the Islanders really, really thrive on, that's what makes me think this series is a lot closer than you would indicate.
It's hard to disagree with that. Pete, what's your take on that?
Oh, that's exactly the way that I feel. I'm one of these guys that Claudia goes to bed and I'm downstairs screaming and exulting as the game is going on. And she wonders if I'm okay, how's my health. But last night, boy, Semyon Varlamov. Now, number one, I think he might become a baseball base dealer. I love that head-first slide. He went into that scrum last night for the post-game celly. That was absolutely fantastic. And he may have a chance in another game, though what he was doing last night made the idea that we're even talking about Game 6 all possible.
All righty. Well, we are up against a break right now. And, Pete, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the trade that just came out a little while ago between the Wild and the Sabres. We also want to get your take on the Peter Laviolette hiring in Washington. And we are going to get our Stanley Cup final predictions, considering the final series will have begun by the time we get back on the air. So we're going to get everybody's Stanley Cup final predictions as well. That is all coming up next right here on Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and you can just see Pete doing his Mick Jagger impersonation right now in his studio. He's over there doing the duck walk. He's doing all of it right now.
He's strutting.
He is. He's doing the strut. Yeah. He's got it down, man.
you know. I got to put more of the staging up here so I can walk around like they did at Bridgestone.
All right, so let's get to it. First off, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the first segment, Pete. Your opinion of the Peter Laviolette hiring in Washington?
Well, to me, Peter Laviolette is the hockey equivalent of Billy Martin. Billy Martin is a major league manager.
That's a good analogy.
Went around and turned teams around almost instantaneously. And he did that here. He certainly did that in Carolina and in Philadelphia. But a lot of people are overlooking what he did in a horrible era of Islanders hockey back at the turn of the century from the 1900s to the 2000s. He actually got an Islanders team into the playoffs. And he had to do that with Mike Milbury as a general manager. That's
right,
a tremendous accomplishment.
Exactly, right there. That's Hall of Fame qualification.
Oh, you guys
right
don't
there.
Like Mikey?
No.
Okay.
Honestly?
Honestly, that's what
I think that's fairly unanimous.
Well, I had to ask a question there.
And that's a good question to
ask. As far as I can throw a shoe.
I knew that was coming. So,
folks, just look it up. YouTube, December 29th, 1979. What he did at Madison Square Garden, if you don't know our story.
So, his biggest accomplishment could be surviving Mike Milbury. But when you look at this, it's the perfect Laviolette situation. It really is. You've got a team that, quite frankly, and let's face it, hindsight being 2020, I know Brian McClellan wanted to get his own guy in there. That really worked out well for him. They did make a mistake in letting Barry Trotz go after winning the cup. But I mean, it was kind of that same thing that happened in Chicago after, after six championships in 7 years, and they go ahead and let Phil Jackson go and let everybody go, and it was like, you may have done that 1 year too early.
Right, let them lose one first before they
Exactly.
That's right, Brent. That's right.
Exactly. So interesting there. And the other thing I do want to get into is the trade that came down right before we went on air. Looks like Minnesota and Buffalo made a deal there, Pete.
Yeah, Marcus Johansson. And he changed the pronunciation of his name. It's not like it was in the days when the Predators would take on the Washington Capitals, and Marcus was in Washington, and I would have Johansson checking Johansson. So he is, to agree with all of us, he is now Johansson. But yes, he goes to Minnesota, and the Buffalo Sabres get a guy back. Folks, you might not recall this, but the night before the 2003 draft, here in Nashville, at Greer Stadium, before a Nashville Sounds game, it was Eric Staal throwing out the ceremonial first pitch, and he threw a beautiful split finger that was a little bit of trouble trying to catch that behind the plate. But until that point in time, he was the highest paid athlete to ever have performed at Greer Stadium until the big contract was signed by Prince Fielder with the Tigers.
So you look at this, and Zach, I know you want to talk about this trade as well. When you look at this trade, I mean, it's got the continuing development of Jack Eichel all over it. I think Eric Staal's going to be fantastic for that young player.
Yeah, I think that is certainly the idea behind picking up a guy like Eric Staal. I mean, this guy has been in the league for a long time, as Petey was noting just then. He is one of those dependable, you're going to get at least 20 goals out of him right now with where he is in his career. And that is certainly someone that you're going to want. Where I'm confused is in the Minnesota Wild section, because anytime you can pick up a guy and pay him $9 million for 10 goals a year, you got to make that trade, right? This doesn't really make them younger. I mean, it doesn't really by about 6 years, but this is a guy who is past his prime, who is not fantastic. He's okay on the penalty kill. You want to keep him away from your power play. I mean, this makes Minnesota a weaker team who is spending more money now.
And it might make Jeff Skinner have an outstanding season in Buffalo. In theory, he's going to be the centerman for Jeff Skinner.
Ooh,
and let's see how many assists he piles up.
Plus,
that's a fantastic point.
Yeah, and the leadership too is there for him too, because he's been a captain before, and he just the leadership in the room, and that's where probably what Guerin's looking at by doing that. But I don't like the trade either way. I think it's just a
you look at it and go, okay, is that a salary dump?
I don't know.
I mean, the salary dump's getting dumped on Minnesota.
Right.
Yes.
It's a fascinating trade. I mean, look, I kind of like Marcus Johansson. That's the kind of player. I mean, yeah, is he overpaid? Absolutely, for what he what he delivered last year. But that's the kind of player. Again, it's that role player. It's that guy that can bring some intangibles that we've seen out of this player previously. You know, I would have liked to have seen that kind of pickup at the trade deadline for the Predators.
Marcus Johansson is a slightly more skilled Austin Watson. I mean, you already have players who are like Marcus Johansson on this team. You got about five of them, really, if you look at it. I don't know if he really brings kind of the level of vinegar that you're looking for if you want to get meaner, you know, if you want to take your hammer to the bus. I don't know if that's the guy you really want.
I'll tell you the kind of guys I would want. I want those Martin kind of guys. Those are the kind of guys that I think.
Yeah.
They can play, but they can play up. You see, Trotsky had him up there with Barzal and a couple of times, and then he moves him around, moves Everly around, and that's how you get things done. But I mean, that's Martin. He can play this guy. He can do the job for you, and he can play tough for you if you need some backup, and he can play hockey for you if you need some hockey play.
No question about that. So, in good discussion, but I have to bring this up while Pete's on the phone. I have to do this because I have two questions to ask. Neither one of them are hockey related.
Okay.
And the first one is, as an alum, Notre Dame at a conference.
I don't like it. No, I don't. But I understand, you know, if they want to play football this year, that's pretty much what they had to do.
Yeah. Well, and the other question is, as an alum, Notre Dame with a successful opening, is that what really brought the Big Ten back to the table? I mean, successful college football had to have had a big play in that.
The cynic in me will tell you this. What brought the Big Ten back to the table? Money.
Dallas.
Money that they were not making. That is what brought them back to the table.
And
because let's keep this in mind. Football is the only fall Big Ten sport coming back. It's not the others.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. You're right. Good, Brent. What
do
you got?
So, Petey, what do you think is going to happen going forward here? Are we going to get the season over with this year, and somebody's going to get the cup in two and a half, three weeks, or something like that? And then, what's going to happen after that? I know. What's the plan? Is there a plan going forward? Is there two plans? Is there five plans? Is there just going to be a big mix up in November and December? We're going to start then, or what's the plan in the league for that?
My understanding, Brent, is I don't know if five plans covers the entirety of what is real right now. They are modeling every contingency they can, that they possibly can, and I know they have not been repeating what they had been talking about several weeks ago, and that was the opening of training camps in November, and then perhaps the opening of the schedule on the first part of December. They might still be talking about maybe opening things because they want to get fans in the stands, right?
Right.
That's the only way you can really make any money out of all of this. And they might actually open up with the outdoor game, with the Winter Classic on January 1st and go from there. And should they do that, I'm not looking for an 82-game schedule.
That was something that I was wondering about because I know that was something that was being talked about back in July when we were looking at the restart and everything being scheduled as they were proceeding through the phases. That was one that was being talked about a lot. I mean, but you have to think, Pete, that they're really keeping a close eye on what's going on in the NFL right now.
Very close look on what's going on in the NFL, and for good reason. And the NFL is, the NHL has had a perfect record in terms of COVID testings in both bubbles going up to now. And they might want to take a look that baseball is going to try to be in bubbles, too, for their postseason, though one of them might have to get moved from Southern California to Arizona because of the unfortunate aspect of the fires raging through the western part of the country right now. But I think that if they know they can do a better job than the NFL at protecting their players and their personnel, now to see when they possibly could, at least at a limited basis, open the buildings to having fans in there, so that we can take cardboard cutouts and other things out that other sports are doing at this point in time.
Well, and the interesting thing was you looked at last Thursday night's game, the lid lifter on the NFL season. I got to tell you, that place got loud in Kansas City.
I was
surprised at how loud that stadium got. All right, we're down to the last couple minutes. I want to get your Stanley Cup final predictions. We're going to do it two ways. We're going to say if it's Tampa versus Dallas or if it's New York versus Dallas. So, Brent, Tampa versus Dallas, who do you pick?
Tampa.
And how many?
Tampa and six.
Tampa and six. And what about if it's the Islanders?
Islanders and six.
Oh, okay. Zach, what do you say?
I say it's going to be Tampa and six. I think Petey is absolutely correct on that. However, I'm going to disagree and say Dallas and seven if it's the Islanders.
Ah, you actually just took mine there. I think Tampa wins. I think Tampa wins the cup, but I think if the Islanders get in, that is going to be an absolute seven-game war. It'll be a Terry Crisp mirror match, spider doing push-ups on a mirror type thing. You know, I completely agree, Zach. Yeah, I'm the exact same call. Pete, what about you for your finals predictions?
You know, I'm just going to make one prediction because I think they are a team of destiny. I think Dallas wins its first cup since '99.
Wow. Is there going to be a foot in the crease on the game-winning goal?
There will not be, and Brett Hall will not be in the neighborhood.
he'll be in South Nashville somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Petey, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We certainly appreciate it, and I know Claudia appreciates it as well, so I'll make sure that your agent gets your cut.
Thank you very much. We really do appreciate that, and Brent, great job with that tournament on Monday. That was a lot of fun. Even though with masks, there were a number of people I spoke with that I did not recognize.
I know. I kept saying, hi, how are you doing? Can you pull your mask down so I can see who you are?
All right. Well, Pete, again, you have yourself a good one. We will have you back on before we close out this season, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Pete Weber, the voice of the Nashville Predators, joining us and also happened to have co-hosted this show for eight seasons as well. A lot of fun. What a great guy. And it's a shame. I think he's forgotten more about sports and sports history than I've ever thought of. He is. There's no question. He is the best. We're on Slapshot Radio. We're going to be right back to close out this hour. And don't forget, coming up next after this, Penalty Box Radio, Justin and Gwen and the gang going to be here. So stay right here. The Hockey Block is back on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson coming at you for your weekly hour of hockey insanity. You know, I want to get back into the discussion that we were talking about with Seattle. Because, I absolutely see, Zach, where you're coming from. I do. I think the rules are absolutely different. There are going to be some better players. But do you honestly think you're going to see a 60-win Seattle team? Like we saw with Vegas?
Honestly, without looking at the top 2021 free agents, which I just typed into Google as I knew you, that's where you were going. There are some interesting names out there. So these are ones who are going to be free agents who are going to be, either re-signing with their teams or looking for a new home. And I think I might have found the Marc-Andre Fleury of that particular bunch. Because there are a few goaltender names who are very, very tempting out there.
Like?
Tuukka Rask. Frederick Anderson. Jordan Binnington. I don't know if Binnington necessarily makes it, but if he continues to flame out the way he did during the playoffs, interesting names. There is one other name, Pecorine, on that list, but I think he's probably retiring after that season. The interesting thing for me about everything that we're seeing right now, I don't know if they're going to be a 60-win team. I don't know if there is enough top-end talent that's going to be available. But at the same time, with the right coach, and let's be honest, Gerard Gallant did yeoman's work for that team.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly, I think firing him was a big mistake, even though I like Peter DeBoer. Mm-hmm. But it's all going to depend on how they are staffing that entire team. So long cop-out answer. I don't know. Anything's possible.
I think the coach is a key, too, for sure.
Completely agree. And here's the thing. Do I think they're a 60-win team? Absolutely not. And I'm willing to say that right now.
Right.
And you know what? If I have to eat crow, fine. Take mine they medium rare with it a little bit of extra ketchup.
They might not get 50 wins.
But what I'm but again, here's the thing that I think that is going to be underappreciated about this. The pressure now. Oh, what yeah. Vegas did was change the expectations. You know what? When the Nashville Predators came in 98, I mean, as a longtime hockey fan, I knew it was going to be 5-6 years before really, really competitive. You know, probably 5 years before a playoff spot if everything broke right. I mean, we knew that because that was the rules back then.
Right.
But now you're going in with a second one. I mean, look, everyone claimed Vegas maybe might flirt with a playoff spot. I said that before their first season. You know, they got some good players. They might flirt with a playoff spot, but let's face it, they're an expansion team. Completely blew that expectation out of the water. But now you don't have the benefit of being the first one with it. The pressure on that leadership team is going to be immense. And if they get if they get off to a bad start, holy cow. Remember the ridiculous start that the Vegas Golden Knights got off to.
Again, I mean, they caught everyone unaware.
No question. I mean, that's not going to happen again. But the kicker becomes on all of this, I really believe, are the expectations. Again, it's almost like that. Again, that backup, lifetime backup goalie that all of a sudden is now the number one and has to go through the entire offseason thinking that he's the number one.
Right. And Fleury already knew he was number one, and he was ready for it because he had done it before. He had won a cup before.
Exactly.
As a number one.
So when you look at all, and again, you're gonna have other goaltenders that are moving on that have won cups as well.
You know what? You were saying one thing that I remember about the schedule, too. They're in the Pacific. They're yep. playing all the teams that didn't make the playoffs this year a little more than they are anybody else.
Well,
so they're in that division, aren't they?
They're going to be in the Pacific. You look at San Jose is on the way down.
Yeah,
Los Angeles is on the way down. Anaheim is on the way down. These are teams that are not exactly on the upswing right now. You've got Edmonton that's another, you know, two players away from, you know, from being a real contender, but they've been that way for 4 years.
Right.
You know, you've got Vancouver definitely on
good
the upswing.
Yeah.
You got Calgary definitely a good team.
Good team.
And then you're going to add Seattle into that. That could be, Zach, to your point, that could really play into their favor.
That's what I find interesting about this. You know, I want to kind of bring the attention back to Nashville for a second because
sure.
I just saw an interesting name float across the UFA list.
Oh, really? And what was that?
Minnesota Wild GM was just quoted when talking about the trade that he does not expect Alex Galchenyuk back. And that is a name that I find fascinating for the Nashville Predators if you're looking for a Mikhail Granlin, Craig Smith type replacement.
Interesting.
Thoughts? I mean, this is a guy who is second in that draft year to Philip Forsberg for points scored.
Well, he finished off in Phoenix, right? And he
finished in Minnesota.
This year, and he was okay, but they didn't nothing special out of him. I'm going to go back to, if we're going to talk about free agents, what the Predators should do. I think we need defensemen like Pulock and the guys from the Islanders. They have good skill up front, but they're really big and they're real strong on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not going to get a headman, but. But
no, why not?
If only.
reasonable expectations.
I mean, but those guys, those are the kind of guys we need. Those are the kind of guys we need for our team because Yosin, and we don't have the biggest guys in the world. Ekholm's big and he's tough, but after that, it's all small guys.
You need that size and you need that. You know, you need that miserable SOB factor
right.
on that third D pairing. And so honestly, again, haven't had that for a while. And that's
exactly.
something I think that's a hole that needs to be filled on this team. You look at the teams that have had success in the past couple of seasons. You look at the ones they've got. They haven't necessarily worried about, you know, Dallas didn't worry about getting faster. They worried about getting a little bit bigger, a little bit more grit, a little bit more veteran presence in the leadership in their room.
Yeah, Pavelski's been great.
Pavelski's been an amazing pickup
exactly.
for them.
Yeah.
Nothing in the regular season. You know, and God, it curdles in my mouth to say it, Zach, but Corey Perry has been a great pickup for them.
He's been exactly what I wanted him on the Nashville Predators for.
Yeah.
And, you know, players like Pavelski and Perry, you don't pick them up for the regular season. You pick them up to kind of, you know, they get there in the regular season and they're kind of passengers there. But boy, when the playoffs come, that's when that experience really kicks in.
And you've seen it with the Dallas Stars in this playoff run. Yeah. You've absolutely seen it. And I think you've seen, you look at last year, you look at the St. Louis Blues. Okay, again, not the fastest team, but that is a team that ground you down. Big, fast, mean, nasty.
Yeah.
And they ground you down.
Finished every hit.
You know,
the Islanders have finished every hit,
You're
too.
Seeing that with the Islanders as well. They seem to be hitting more with every game.
Yeah.
And, Zach, to your point, it does seem to be getting to Tampa a little bit.
A little bit.
And if they continue to work their way under Tampa's skin, who knows what could happen. I still think it's going to end in six, but...
But if Tampa survives this round, I'll be honest, I'm kind of second-guessing my my pick of Tampa in the Stanley Cup Final, especially after hearing the professor's call on that one. I do think Dallas is going to wear down Tampa if it does prove to be that kind of case.
But here's the thing. You're going to get a break. There is going to be a break. Even if that series goes seven games, there's going to be a couple-day break. It's going to happen. They do it every time.
And that
time.
Might push Dallas into too much of a 10-day break. You can't have those 10-day breaks because you're not as sharp in practice.
Yeah, exactly. When you see that kind of thing happen, so I don't know if the break right now. I mean, I look at it this way: if the series ends tomorrow night, the Stanley Cup Finals probably not going to begin until next Tuesday.
Right.
Really? You think that long? Maybe Sunday. You're going to see it Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday at the earliest.
They're not going to go up against Sunday Night Football. They're just not.
Monday
night's a little different.
Yeah, they did this week.
But they did it in the late window.
Yeah.
You know, you could still catch your early game and flip back and forth, kind of like a couple of rabid Eagles fans did. On Sunday. I mean, you could still flip back and forth to it. Yeah. I don't see them going in prime time on Sunday night, and the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Stanley Cup Final is always in prime time. Maybe Saturday night? Maybe?
Yeah, maybe Saturday, Monday.
But that's a little early. My thought process, seriously, it would not surprise me at all if they waited a couple days and started it next Tuesday, even if it ends tomorrow night.
But isn't the reasoning because of the media and just the level of setup that it takes to host a Stanley Cup final? You're not dealing with that this time.
No, I agree. But, I mean, again, you know, NBC is going to have a lot to say about this.
Oh yeah,
about when this goes, and they're not going to want to go up against football. They're not going to. They've avoided it they avoid it like the plague, and they should. And you know what? The other thing is they're not going to have to worry about coordinating the schedule with the NBA either, because they don't like going head to head with the NBA. If the finals are going on at the same time, they're on opposite nights.
Right.
You know, so the schedule is going to be something really interesting to watch, because it would not surprise me if there's a couple day break,
because they don't have to travel now. So I mean, it's not like you have to give them a day off between 2 days off between games when you're going coast to coast. Sometimes New York and Vancouver playing, coast to coast.
Sometimes that ebbs in traffic. I mean, it's good. It is going to be interesting, but I think if we end up with the Tampa Bay Lightning in that final, I think the comparisons to 2017 get even higher. I really do. I look at it and go, look, I mean, you know, those people that know me know that it, you know, I cannot say the words go and Dallas in the same sentence. I just can't. Even if there isn't a star on their helmets, there is a star on it. But, you know, seriously, it's going to be good no matter what. I think you're going to have two different kinds of series, though. If it's the Islanders that manage to get through, it's going to be a gutter war.
Right.
I mean, you talk about two big physical teams that, God, whoever thought you'd say this about Dallas, Zach, that actually played defense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you're going to see really heavy hockey. I think just the play of Denis Kurianov and Alex Radulov, anyone who ends with an Ov on that team has really been killing it. So, and Miro Heiskanen has just been otherworldly. And we haven't even mentioned Anton Khudobin.
No, no question. So it's going to be a good one no matter what. We're back next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Guys, we are up against it. Penalty Box Radio is up next on the Hockey Block right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thanks for joining us on Slapshot Radio. We're back next Wednesday night at 7 p.m. A big thank you to the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, for joining us tonight. And, of course, big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and, of course, our good friend Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. You got to check out Carter when you visit one of our sponsors. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, the Mighty Mighty Max, our co-host, Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night. And good hockey.